UN observers in Syria have confirmed the discovery of another massacre as the diplomatic stalemate the UN continues. The bodies of 13 men were found near the east of the country with their hands tied behind their backs, some shot in the head. At the UN in New York, Russia has categorically ruled out supporting a UN resolution in favour of foreign intervention. And Syria's powerful neighbour Turkey has joined other Western nations in expelling Syrian diplomats over the Hula massacre. Mark Malik Brown is a former Deputy Secretary General of the UN. He knows Kofi Annan well, and he is in Istanbul at this moment. Mark Malik Brown, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning.
Mark, what will it take to find a diplomatic solution to the Syrian crisis?
Well, the silver lining may, and it's a big may, be to this crisis that these massacres will concentrate minds and give diplomatic traction to a process that until now has lacked it. I mean, the Kofi Annan plan has not been fulfilled in any of its conditions. There's not been a ceasefire. There's not been disengagement of heavy weapons. There's not been the beginning of a political dialogue. There's not been access for humanitarian assistance. So, you know, it's been a little bit of a fig leaf which has allowed violence to continue, and I don't think anybody is more upset about that than Kofi Annan himself, because, you know, he recognizes that his plan only works if it's accepted and implemented by both sides, and perhaps these horrible massacres will create the conditions for that to finally happen.
There is no sign of that yet, though. In fact, Kofi Annan's deputy, Jean-Marie Guémo, I'm not sure how I say that, told the Security Council overnight that Syria's protesters, quote, have lost fear and are unlikely to stop their movement. He also said direct engagement between government and opposition was impossible at the moment, and expressed serious doubts over the commitment of the authorities to the Annan plan. So it seems as though the two sides are as far apart as ever.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing which may pull them back is the alternative to diplomacy, which is a fully-fledged civil war where many more lives will be lost and where there's a very genuine and real risk that the conflict will spread into the neighborhood. Lebanon is already under huge tension because of this, and this Shia-Sunni split could divide the whole of the Middle East. I mean, these are incredibly high stakes that are now there. And, you know, it sometimes seems when you promote a diplomatic solution to these kinds of problems that you're in the business of appeasement. In truth, it's often, like it is for Kofi Annan today, the brave and difficult thing to do, because you are accused of appeasement. But the truth is, difficult though it is, it remains better than the alternative, which is a potentially region-wide civil war.
And how, I mean, that's a very frightening prospect that you talk about there, a potentially region-wide civil war. The US ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice, gave an equally kind of bleak assessment overnight, warning of spreading to other countries in the region. Just a little more on that. Why would this move beyond Syria, given that it is a very local opposition at this point with the Syrian government? And we didn't see it spread beyond the region when other countries had sort of popular uprisings, did we?
Well, Syria is the center of a kind of, if you like, sub-regional web there, because, you know, Syria has traditionally been heavily involved in its neighbor, Lebanon. Its main supporter in the region is another near neighbor, Iran, and it also has, you know, other neighbors like Jordan and Iraq, which, while not supporters, have their own balance of Shia and Sunni populations. And as I say, we are seeing a rising tide of tension and near violence in Lebanon. The Iranians, who, you know, are a Shia majority state that supports the Shia minority that rules in Syria, you know, are kind of already arming one side, whereas on the other side you have Saudi Arabia and Qatar arming the rebels, because the rebels and those two countries are Sunni states. And so, you know, this is dangerously lining up as a sectarian conflict, and, you know, this would be a disaster for everybody involved when the goal for every decent-minded person in the region and around the world is to create a kind of as secular as possible democratic government through the region. That was what the Arab Spring was about. And if instead it descends into kind of religious jihads between different groups, that would be a travesty and tragedy.
So how to prevent this horror scenario that you outlined then? I mean, Kofi Annan, perhaps one of the world's most skillful diplomats on this earth at the moment. You might ask, if he can't broker a deal, who can? Is the real question who can persuade Russia, for instance, pressure to bear on Syria?
And the Russians keep on insisting that they support the Kofi Annan plan.
Indeed.
And the fact is, if Kofi Annan can't do it, nobody can, because he has managed to secure the support of the whole Security Council. He has a deep and broad trust across the international community. And, you know, what he's got to bring home to the different parties to this is the danger of the alternative. Diplomacy is not easy. It requires concessions by both sides. There are not absolute winners. The likely outcome would be that the opposition would find themselves in power with remnants of the Assad regime that represent the Alawite Shia minority and other minorities in the country, but minus Assad and the crooked, corrupt family group around him. But it requires compromise. And, you know, at the moment, you know, the blood's up, understandably, given the violence that's occurred, and it's up on both sides. And it seems sort of emotionally easier to move to war. But the cost in the medium to longer term would be tragic for everybody involved.
And the one option is for, as you say, the two parties to move to war, a civil war that could spread beyond the bounds of Syria. What about foreign military intervention? Foreign diplomacy doesn't seem to be working. Foreign sanctions have pretty much gone as far as they can now with the expulsion of the Syrian diplomats, and there's other measures already in place to no effect, it would seem. Is foreign military intervention being discussed really now? I know it's unlikely given China and Russia's opposition to it, but how vocal are the supporters of it at the UN?
Not very. I mean, the trouble is it's the worst kind of threat of intervention. It's seen by everybody involved as largely pretty empty. There's a recognition that Western countries do not want another Libya, let alone another Iraq or Afghanistan. And therefore, you know, whenever they threaten it, all it does is steal the Syrian government to resist concessions because it claims it fears this intervention. Mm. But they actually see that the West is blinking. So, you know, it's not taken seriously except as an excuse not to engage in serious diplomacy. So it's at the moment the worst of all worlds. And, you know, the intervention or foreign involvement there is more Saudi Arabia and Qatar providing arms and financial support to the rebels, which, you know, may help over time even things up a bit on the battlefield.
Or it might make things worse.
Well, in the short term, it makes things worse because it just provokes the Syrian regime to say, look, it's not right that the world's behind the Annan plan. They're kind of, they've got a plan B and they're arming the rebels and they're not serious about diplomacy. So, again, we're in the worst of all worlds. We've got a diplomatic effort, but the international community is not, in truth, solidly lined up behind it. And worse, the government itself is trying to play the diplomatic effort for a sort of longer game as it can, so that it can continue to murder and brutalize and suppress the opposition. So we've got some very bad people on the government side, and on the opposition side, a lack of seriousness about negotiation.
Mark Brown, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Mark Malik Brown is a former Deputy Secretary General of the UN, joining you there from Istanbul at this moment. It's 6:45 on Breakfast.